Well, good morning, everyone. We come now to the 51st chapter of Jeremiah, next to last. And remember that chapter 50 and 51 really form a very long unit that addresses the ultimate fall of Babylon. There is a short-term prophecy here where Babylon is destroyed by the Medes and the Persians. Not completely destroyed, but pretty well. And then, of course, we looked at a little bit at Revelation chapter 14, 15, 17, 18, where we see Babylon mentioned again and its complete destruction. Of course, Babylon in Revelation is presented more as the culmination of evil, of paganism, hedonism in society, that which is destroyed at the second coming of Christ. Here in Jeremiah, it is the physical city of Babylon and the nation of the Chaldeans that is destroyed by the Medes and the Persians under Cyrus and his invasion there. And we remember that this is all brought about because of their pride, because even though they were used by the Lord as his instrument of judgment upon Judah, they never repented of their own sin. Therefore, the Lord brought judgment upon them. Now, that's pretty much chapter 50 and most of 51, and it is just a reiteration again and again of this destruction that's coming upon Babylon. So, we covered 51 pretty well. I'm not going to cover all of, we covered 50 pretty well. I'm not going to cover all of 51 today. I'm just going to go right to the end. Chapter 51, verses 49 and following to the end of the chapter. And that's what we'll focus on today as far as our lesson from Jeremiah. So let's pray. Our Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes to your word, that we would understand it, the extent of what pride does to us, the extent of the judgment that comes upon those who do not cling to you, to the truth of your word and salvation in Christ alone. So we pray that you would open our eyes to this in Christ's name. Amen. So we look at chapter 51, verses 49, and it begins, Babylon must fall for the slain of Israel. So this is another justification for Babylon's fall, for the judgment that is coming upon them. It'll happen because of the people of Israel and what happened to them and people of the other nations that the Babylonians have slain. Babylon must fall for the slain of Israel, just as for Babylon have fallen the slain of all the earth. This is the rule of Lex Talionis. It really comes out of Exodus chapter 21. And we see this throughout Scripture. Jesus says, you've heard an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and things like that. You did this, and the punishment for that is this. So that is what they're talking about here. And ultimately, Revelation chapter 18, verses 2 and 20 is really the ultimate destruction of Babylon, as we see there. So, you who have escaped from the sword, go, do not stand still. Remember the Lord from far away and let Jerusalem come into your mind. So the exiles, those who are in Babylon at this time, remember this is probably the second or the third generation that was there. The first exile started in about 609 BC. We are now closer to 70 years later at the fall of Babylon, so a couple generations. And the Lord has always told them, you know, plant your gardens in Babylon. You're going to be here for a while. Build your houses, but be ready to go back to your homeland. And that's what he's saying here. Think on Jerusalem. Let Jerusalem be in your heart at this point, because plans are being made, times are coming to the fulfillment when you will go back to Jerusalem. We are put to shame, verse 51, for we have heard reproach, dishonor has covered our face, for foreigners have come into the holy places of the Lord's house. Now, this would be the temple. This would be some of the abominations that happened after the invasion of Jerusalem. They actually set up idols in the temple. They defaced it. They took away the holy vessels and all those things that went on. So this is just a reminder of what has taken place. And then we see that the Lord will punish these nations. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will execute judgment upon her images, and through all her land the wounded shall groan. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven, though she should fortify her strong height, yet destroyers would come from me against her, declares the Lord. So a couple things here. Behold, the days are coming when I will execute judgment upon her images. The gods that the Babylonians held so dear in their heart will be destroyed. And remember, we've talked about this before, how often it is not just nation against nation, but in the pagan mindset, it was their God against your God. And here we see the destruction of all of the gods of the Babylonians, because they're nothing but carved images and stone. They have no real power. And then here in 53, though she should fortify her cities for strong height, doesn't really matter how big your walls are. And actually, the walls of Babylon were one of the wonders of the world at that time. They were so strong, so high, so well fortified. No one thought they could overcome, but the Lord says it doesn't matter. You could build them up to heaven itself, but I will destroy you. Yet destroyers would come from me against her. So just as the Lord used the Babylonians to destroy, he is now using others to destroy the Babylonians. Let's come down now to chapter 51, verses 59 and following. This is kind of this a little postscript here, and another sign prophecy that is going to happen. Verse 59, the word that Jeremiah the prophet commanded Seraiah, the son of Nerah, son of Messiah, and he went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, to Babylon in the fourth year of his reign. Seraiah was the quartermaster. So we're actually going back in time here. Remember, Jeremiah jumps all over the place here chronologically. In the fourth year of his reign, this was not a year when they were under siege, but Zedekiah has to go back. He's taken back taken to Babylon, just kind of as a reminder of Babylon's authority. Remember, Zedekiah was placed in power by the Babylonians as a puppet king, but apparently he had been talking with some other nations about the potential of finding their freedom, overcoming the Babylonians, something like this. So this is the year which is recorded back in Jeremiah chapter 27. So this is when that is happening chronologically, even though it's tacked on here right at the end of 51. So Zedekiah is summoned to Babylon, and sure, that's kind of disconcerting for him. Certainly he didn't want to be called there, and he is accompanied. Jeremiah the prophet commanded Sarai, the son, to go with him. And so we see that there's a purpose in this, of course, for the Lord, but also prophetically. And it is here in this individual that we're going to see the sign prophecy that comes to fulfillment. Sarai was the quartermaster. He kind of went ahead of him, made the arrangements, also made sure he had all the things that he needed to travel, the king needed to travel. Verse 60, Jeremiah wrote in a book all the disaster that should come upon Babylon. All these words that were written concerning Babylon. Remember, this is the prophecy from chapter 27. And Jeremiah said to Sariah, when you come to Babylon, see that you read all these words. So this was a word to be read in Babylon to the Babylonians and say, O Lord, you have said concerning this place that you will cut it off so that nothing shall dwell in it, neither man nor beast, and it shall be desolate forever. So you are to read this prophecy concerning Babylon when they are really at the peak of their power. And of course, no one really is going to listen to it, humanly speaking. It's interesting in the same way that Jonah went to Nineveh and spoke of its doom at the peak of its power, and that city repented all the way from the king down to the lowest individual for that generation. Here, Babylon pays no attention to it, but yet the sign prophecy is still carried out. Verse 63, when you finish reading this book, tie a stone to it and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates and say, thus shall Babylon sink to rise no more because of the disaster that I'm bringing upon her, and they shall become exhausted. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. So he lays this out for him, and this is a graphic illustration that he's to read these words in a scroll, and these are the prophecies that are written, and then to sink it into the Euphrates. Remember, he's done this a couple times before. He bought a new belt, basically, loincloth, went up, buried it under a stone by the river, went back a couple months later, it had rotted, and that was a sign. Again, the Lord said, go and purchase this piece of property, which was behind enemy lines, so to speak. It was part of his kin's heritage and lineage, so he acted as the kinsman redeemer to redeem this property back, even though it was under Babylon's influence. But it was a sign of restoration to come. And here, we have this prophecy concerning the fall of Babylon, and then he's supposed to read it, tie some stones to it, and throw it in the river to say, this is what's going to happen to Babylon. I've just told you of its destruction. Now I'm going to show you its destruction, and I'm going to sink it into the river, never to be seen again. So this is a visual enactment of the fall of Babylon. But remember the context of chapter 27. This is also the time that Jeremiah is saying to the people, don't fight Babylon. It's better to give up. It's better to go into exile right now. At the same time, he's saying that Babylon's going to fall, but the two go together very well because Babylon's going to fall, but its fall means the freedom for those who went in exile. So if you went in exile when Jeremiah told you to back in the earlier chapters, then your descendants, and if you were young enough, possibly even you, would be able to return to Jerusalem and to Judea because of the fall of Babylon that is prophesied. So now the scroll never comes to surface, and this symbolic action is kind of seen again in Revelation. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, threw it into the sea, saying, so shall Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and shall be no more. So there's a partial fulfillment with this prophecy. And in a like prophecy in Revelation, its ultimate fulfillment when Babylon shall certainly be no more. Now, we can do certain things and say certain things, but ceremonies, visual things have no real message, no real focus unless they come from the Lord. unless they have this divine power tied to them. So when the Lord tells Jeremiah to do these things, he does them, they come to fulfillment. So when we look at this last little tag on here at the end of 51, thus far are the words of Jeremiah. This really is the a bookend to the book of Jeremiah. If we look at verse 1 of chapter 1, the words of Jeremiah. And so we have this conclusion here, thus far the words of Jeremiah. Now, 52 serves kind of as its own little entity, and we'll discuss that next week. But it's a revamping, a recapping of some things, and it's some very particular things that we'll deal with next week. But that gives us an idea, really, of the end of Babylon. And it was foretold not here when Jeremiah goes into exile in Egypt as he was taken there, but many chapters before, back in 27, that Babylon ultimately would fall, and it does under Cyrus, and then eventually in the judgment of the Lord. So we'll look at chapter 52 and conclude the book next week.